You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us for a brand new golfing week. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall all on the podcast this week. And we come to you on the back of a good week as well, because there were some decent bets put up by you two chaps, not me, you two last week on the podcast. And we'll start with you, Dave, because you anticipated or expected the Americans to completely dominate the international team in the President's Cup. And that's how it turned out, with one of your correct scores landing 19-11 in the end, Dave Tindall.
Yeah, it's sort of one of those ones where you put your neck on the line a bit and say it's going to be one thing. Often they go completely wrong, don't they? But it worked out this time, and it could have been an even bigger mauling, couldn't it?
Mr. Smug.
I was trying not to be smug.
You're every right to be smug, Dave. You called it absolutely bang on. You really did. I thought you were way over the top on the US's prospects, but you nailed it. And in fact, that 19-11... you're kind of lucky to land that, because the internationals shouldn't have got 11, should they? They played that badly. You're almost too right. You know what I mean? So you deserve to be smug, because you call it perfectly.
I know what you mean about sort of them getting 11. I think because they had it won, I think the Americans sort of breathed out, and
definitely
they'd won, and there was definitely nothing to play for.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And it was almost 19-11 was the best it could have been.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm trying to say.
It
could easily have been worse, could it? Look, if the singles had been held before all of the other events, I don't think the score would have been the same, because the international just played horrendously.
Yeah, they did.
Under pressure.
I'm actually more interested in the aftermath as well. A number of American journalists who have in the past been known for their overly bullish views, reading some of their comments, you'd think that the US team, all they have to do in the Ryder Cup next year in Paris is turn up, take a trip to see the Eiffel Tower, maybe take in some culture at the George Pompidou Centre, play a little golf and waltz off
and
into the sunset.
The Europeans. Yeah, but it probably won't be like that, will it? It might be. They've got a fantastic team now, but they've only won two of the last eight Ryder Cups. Let's get that in context. And I looked, actually, just to see the last time that they'd hammered the internationals and what they did in the subsequent Ryder Cups. And on both occasions, they actually lost, I think. So, albeit one of them was after 9-11, so there's a bit of a gap, there's a year extra gap. Mm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that whatever happens in the President's Cup is reflected in the Ryder Cup, albeit quite clearly the American team is very strong.
Yeah, and the favourites now to win the Ryder Cup as well.
Yeah, they deserve to be.
Yeah, golf is a fickle game though, isn't it? There's no guarantee, Dave, that these US stars are going to be in the same sort of form in 12 months' time. And Europe have won six of the last eight, as Mike mentioned, and haven't been beaten on European soil since they were defeated at the Belfry back in 1993. So it's a long time since the Americans came over and beat the Europeans. Mm.
Yeah, and obviously this President's Cup was played in America and everything was going their way. But the previous one, and this is probably why Mike was more cautious last week, was in Korea, wasn't it, when it went down to the kind of the last game, so away from home, when it's, you know, the course isn't going to be set up to suit them. It's going to be a much tighter affair, I think.
Yeah, they're much better leading than if the Americans can get on top, they're very good. But it's a bit different when they're under pressure with a...
That's the thing, isn't it?
The home crowd baying at them.
Can they play well under pressure? They weren't tested at all this week. And under pressure in previous Ryder Cups, they folded.
Mm. It's going to be fascinating.
On the European Tour, Paul
By the way, I did pick Louis Oosthuizen as top international
apologize.
Point scorer.
Yeah, you did.
Having got everything else wrong about the event, I might as well mention that.
I almost skipped
7
over
to
that.
1. And Dave... Are you going to mention Dave?
Yeah, I was going to mention Dave.
Oh, you're going to mention both these then?
Yeah,
all
I was
right,
going to mention
enough.
Both these. I was just ignoring you. You're in the studio with me. I was just going to ignore you.
Thanks, Dave.
Now, in the other event, Paul Dunne was sensational to claim his first European title. I mean, he shot 61 on Sunday to win that British Masters.
Wow.
But, Dave, you had some success with Graham Storm in that event, finishing first.
Well, yeah, I was humming and hawing, wasn't I, going, oh, I don't know, 80 to 1. And then Mike said, just back it. And so thanks, Mike. Mike with the assist there, because he did
I'm
well
counting
there.
That down to me.
He's taking that as a win,
I'll
actually.
I'll have that as a win.
Forget it, then. Yeah,
let's get stuck into this week, then, chaps. We've got the Alfred Dunhill links first up. Rory McIlroy is the 11-2 favourite with William Hill. Shane Lowry is 18-1. Tyrrell Hatton is 20s. Brandon Grace is 22s. Tommy Fleetwood in the market at 22-1 as well. Chris Wood and Matthew Fitzpatrick, both 25s. And it's 28s and bigger the remainder. What a fantastic event this was last season with Tyrrell Hatton winning. That was one of the shining moments of the season.
And you pick him?
I did.
I thought, yeah, yeah.
He became the 12th winner from Great Britain and Ireland in the 16 years of this tournament. Yeah, yeah. And given the courses are set up for the amateurs, with the leading amateurs playing all four rounds, which still is pretty stupid.
Too stupid. I do enjoy watching Hugh Grant, though, don't you?
I'm happy with it. I'll accept it for three rounds. But then
three minutes is a bit long for me, if I'm being truthful. But
the scoring is low in this event because it's set up for the amateurs.
It is.
And the three courses that are utilised, all links courses, King's Barnes, Carnoustie and St Andrews, and all of them are par 72s with very similar yardages as well, each measuring between 7,200 and 7,400 yards. And the weather, Dave, will be a big factor. It often is.
Yeah, everyone sort of turns up kind of like it's the uniform, isn't it, to wear like a bubble hat there. Temperature's normally in the 50s. It just feels cold because it's so exposed, especially St Andrews. So, yeah, it's a chance to display all the winter weather gear. and when I mean, we've said many times before on this podcast, trying to predict the weather is a bit of a stupid thing to do in Scotland, but it does look as though it's going to be windy, doesn't it, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's going to get up to 15, 20 miles an hour on the first 3 days. So it sort of eased off a little bit, the weather forecast.
It was looking worse,
it was looking
wasn't it?
Worse it than, was, it, than yeah. it does now.
I mean, we're doing this podcast unusually on a Wednesday because of the late field announcement for the Safeway, aren't we?
Yep.
But had we done this yesterday afternoon, I think we'd have been saying the weather forecast looked worse than now, so definitely want to keep an eye on, though. For that reason, I've only got one bet myself, because I'm just still a little unsure as to the way the wind's going to blow.
Yeah,
would have been true, but would have been a bit, yeah.
I agree with you. I've only got one bet in the event. Driving accuracy, never really a factor at this tournament either. You need to have a hot putter, plenty of solid links form, and that stat I mentioned about GB and I players.
Yes,
That's.
I'd go along with all of that.
Yeah, that's good.
Like you, Dave, would you agree?
Yeah, my one's ticks all those you've just said.
Have we all got one each then?
Yeah, one apiece.
Yes, we have. Yes.
One apiece.
Go on, Dave. You.
Go on then, Dave.
Yeah, Dave got all that President's Cup right, didn't he?
I thought that was you.
I got Graham Storm.
Go on, Dave. Lead us off.
Yeah, my old mate Richie Ramsey.
Oh,
tick.
40-1. I love it.
Actually, Dave, I thought you might pick someone else. I thought Ramsey might be in there if you pick more than one. But yeah, go on, I thought he'd be on your mind.
Were you thinking I was going to pick Chris Wood again?
I was.
Yeah, it's just the prices, really. I think Wood may be a little on the short side.
Yeah, he's been found, hasn't he? There.
Yeah, I think there's still some juice in Ramsey at 40s. Obviously, he's a local Scotsman. You said about the record of GB and Ireland players. Showed his links. Prowess with a second in the Irish Open back in July, and he's played really good golf ever since. He was 22nd at the Open at Birkdale, but from memory, I think he was on the leaderboard for quite a chunk of that. So that 22nd was sort of faded to 22nd. I think he was in contention. Top 10 the European Open after that. And then everywhere you look, he's got good form. 25th at the KLM, and then 8th last week at the British Masters. So he's continued that good form from summer into autumn. Is it the autumn now? Do we say autumn?
Yeah, definitely. We're covering that.
So, he's just a really good informed player playing on his local, in his homeland. And we're not just guessing that he plays well. He was runner-up in the Alfred Dunhill Links in 2014, also took fourth in 2009. Other good performances in Scotland. He was sixth in last year's Scottish Open on another Links track. So everything you look two with Ramsey seems to tick the box. Mm. Just looking at his Twitter feed as well, he says, I've been watching the Dunhill Link since I was seven. Is that possible? But he must have been watching those ones when it was a team event, I think.
Yeah, I think
so. Do
you remember
when it used to be like sort of three South Africans? And
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Is it a daily occurrence for you, by the way, checking Richie Ramsey's Twitter feed?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, he just rings me, actually, and tells me.
Surely a blocking coming up there.
And he actually said he played Carnoustie yesterday and just thought it was great. So I think he's really bullish for this event. Comes into it in probably the best form he's ever been in. So I think at 40-1, Richie Ramsey can do us a favour.
Very good.
Given the great record of British and Irish players in this, I've gone for a South African.
I've gone for an American, actually.
It makes no sense at all. But Brandon Grace, who isn't my pick, did win this in 2012. So I'm hoping that his compatriot, Richard Stirney, can follow up. Stirney's in good form. A sixth and a second on his last two outings here. Just got beaten last year, finishing second place. Four top 20s in his last seven. Very good links player. 50-1 is the reason I'm backing him. I think that is a reasonable each-way price for Richard Stirney in this event. You know, in two of the last two times he's played here, you'd have collected the place money, wouldn't you, given that there's six places on offer now. So, yeah, top 30 in the PGA, US PGA amongst those finishes. Ninth in European Masters not so long ago. Didn't play amazingly well in the British Masters last weekend, finished 31st, but it was not horrendous either. Links golf suits him. This event seems to suit him with his, seems to be able to play with the amateurs and cope with that, which is a bit of a challenge. I think 50-1's a very, very good each way chance.
Very good. Yeah, I agree. Richard Stirney, 50-1. I've gone with JB Holmes at 50-1 is my selection.
It
wouldn't necessarily, Dave, be your archetypal links style performer. But I just thought 50-1 in a field like this was definitely worth a shot. He can really attack at St Andrews, obviously finished inside the top 15 at St Andrews in an Open Championship back in 2010. Then in bad conditions at Troon last year, he finished third.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Which was very good. I think he'll love playing this event given how generous it is off the tee and how they set it up for those who like to be aggressive. And he comes into this in reasonable form as well. So I thought he was overpriced at 50-1.
Do you know what the bad weather thing put me off a little bit, Dave? But you're right. He's shown some form over here in poor weather. Mm. But I get all of that. Yeah, must have a big chance.
Who came closest, Dave, away from the three guys we've picked?
Definitely Chris Wood. So much good form on the links and good recent form as well. But his price just slightly put me off when I compared him.
I agree, Dave.
Ramsey,
totally agree. He was on my list very high as well, but 25 just wasn't quite enough.
Yeah, I quite like Shane Lowry and Tyrrell Hatton, but again, they're pretty well found.
They're well found in the market. The Lowry's been on my mind. I've backed him a couple of times in running, but 20s is short, isn't it? I think.
He's
18s in fact, so it's even shorter. Martin Keimer maybe showing some signs of a kind of bounce back, but again, 33s is a little bit on the light side. So there's a whole host of British and Irish players like Ramsey is one, by the way. Dave Southgate, Wall, Paisley, all these kind of players do well in links golf, don't they?
Yeah.
But
I wondered if anyone would just say 11-2 McIlroy's in each way, bet to nothing kind of thing. 50-odd.
I don't like him in bad weather.
No, it's starting to look at if the weather forecast gets any easier. I think if the weather forecast was poor, I'd want to avoid Rory McIlroy at 11-2. But now, it could be an each way bet.
I think he's played really well in some Opens with horrific weather. I think that's starting to become a bit of an old theory, that one. I think he can dig in. I know what you mean. Ideally, you want it sort of...
Just his ball flying, whatever you do. I don't like him when it's windy, particularly personally. Mm. Given, no one's saying that he can't play well in those conditions, but he's 11-2, you know, is it his preferred? That's all it is. You know, he could easily win in bad weather, don't get me wrong, but I think in placid weather, he'd be more of a realistic 11-2 chance.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's his first start here since 2014, and obviously he missed the Open at St Andrews in 2015 when he did his leg. So I think he'll be absolutely on the leash trying to get to the course this time. Mm. Had, what, 3 second places? If he won by about five, I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's move on to the Safeway Open then, chaps, which is the PGA Tour event this week, and it's the first of the season. And Tony Finau is the 12-1 favourite, Phil Mickelson 16-1, Webb Simpson 18-1, Zach Johnson is 25s, Bill Haas 28s, Kevin Na 28s, Ryan Moore is 28-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. And the players once again descend on Napa Valley for the fourth consecutive season for this championship. And Silverado, Mike, isn't necessarily a golf course that players can overpower, but it still does offer many birdie opportunities.
Yeah.
Brendan Steele came from behind last year to win with a score of 18 under par. Emiliano Grillo won with 15 under par the previous season. And the year before that, the returning Sangmun Bae won with 15 under as well. The rough will be down, which means accuracy from the tee isn't a necessity either. It's a classic second shot golf course, and a warm putter is going to be crucial too.
Absolutely, summed it up, Dave. Absolutely, a warm putter. Hitting the greens in the right number and then putting, I think, are going to be key this week. And it should be around about, might even tip 20 under this week, I have a feeling.
Dave, what are you looking for around this golf course?
Yeah, as you say, it's a tree line. It's quite undulating. It's a California course. There's a few correlated courses. I think that Sherwood, they used to play Tigers in Utah. That's been checked with one that looks similar to the eye. And any California form, I think, is good. So, yeah, I think it's definitely brain over brawn this week.
Have you got any picks, Dave?
Yes, I've got a couple.
I've got a couple as well, actually, in this event.
I haven't got any, so kick on.
Okay, Dave, you lead us off.
Yeah, I'm going to lead off with perhaps someone who doesn't immediately jump out, but 25-1 Zach Johnson. He was actually interviewed. I saw an interview on the PGAtour.com last night, and he was saying how much he likes the look of this course already. Basically, he's been told by lots of players who've played it before that, Zach, you want to go there? This would be one of your sort of courses. So I think he's taken the hint, and he's likened it to places where he's done well before, like Colonial, where he's won twice, Hilton Head, where he's been a runner-up. So I think this is definitely Zach Johnson territory. As I say, that Sherwood Country Club, he made specific reference to that. And although, yes, it was a small field, he beat Tiger there in 2013. And obviously 2013 was when Tiger was still amazing at golf. And did you win five times that year? So
yeah,
the risk at the time. But also finished runner-up there to Tiger 2 years previous. So I think he should really like this course. And didn't you tip Sangmun Bae, Dave, when you won there?
Yeah, I did. Thank you for bringing that up, Dave.
Good memory.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, you'd email me to tell me to say that.
Don't give away those trade secrets.
So he won on his first look. Emiliano Grillo won on his first look. So players have come here and won, you know, first time of asking. Zach Johnson can certainly do that. I mean, he's a two-time major winner. He's won 12 times. Just when you compare him to someone like Tony Finau, who's half the price.
He's a rubbish price, isn't he, at 12? Yeah. He could easily win, but blimey.
Yeah, exactly. Even Mickelson, who's 16, Mickelson hasn't won for 4 years. Well, Zach Johnson's won a major and other titles since then. So Mickelson's getting the glory, isn't he, a bit for the President's Cup. But
he's a bad price as well, to be fair. Yeah, right, Dave.
Terrible price. But Zach Johnson, you might look at it and think, oh, well, 25-1 isn't that great, but that's the sort of price and lower where he wins. He tends to win when he should, or on courses where you've identified him as they'll suit. So maybe the Open Championship at St Andrews wasn't that sort of the exception. But generally, when Zach Johnson goes to a course where he should play well, I think he does.
Okay, fair play, Dave.
Yep, I'm going with Ches Reavie as my opening selection here, 40-1. I mean, Kevin Na's got a good record around this golf course, and Reavie is kind of out of the Kevin Na mould as well. And he elevated his game last season behind some solid wedge play and his usual accuracy from tee to green. He finished 53rd, 17th and 22nd on his three starts at this track, and his wedge play will be a major asset at this course. And he ranked fourth in proximity to the hole last season, which I think is one of the key stats this week. And he closed his season last season out with a tie for 10th in the Northern Trust and a tie for 12th in the BMW Championship. I thought he looked a cracking each way bet at 40-1 Ches Reavie. So I'm going with the American as my first bet. Dave, have you got your second?
Yeah, I'm going with a Canadian for my second bet here. Mackenzie Hughes. We've got him in the 80s. I think that's a nice price for him. Had an excellent rookie season. Came very, very close to making it all the way through to the Tour Championship. Just failed that, but to get that close, it's only 30 you make. It was a really good effort. He won early season in one of these four series events, so he did have a win to sort of kick off his rookie season, and then he played some really good golf after that. I mean, since June, he's only missed the one cut. He's had some good performances, and there was 13th at the Dell Technologies just a few weeks ago. And then on this course, he played it last year and was 13th as well. There were three 69s and a 68. Mm-hmm. He's also got a top 10 at Pebble Beach last year, which I think there's some similarities there. It's the courses they use there, tree-lined. It's in California. Some of the greens are small, as they are this week. So I think it's going to be a good course for him. He's already shown it with that top 15. I just think at 80s, you look down the betting at some of the other guys who are shorter prices. I thought 80s were a good price on Mackenzie Hughes. Is a very good putter as well. I think we will get a low score this week, maybe minus
10. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, he was 8th in strokes gained putting last year, so I think that will really stand him in good stead.
Good.
I'm going with JJ Spawn as my speculative pick this week at 100-1. My second selection is a Californian, and he had a disrupted season on tour as a rookie last year. Struggled with injury after a couple of very impressive back-to-back results when he finished tied 9th at the Farmers and followed that up with a tie for 4th at the Phoenix Open. He's also finished in a good position at Hilton Head, tied for 6th at Hilton Head. And then came the rib problem, which he appears to have got over now, which is good news. Had a few decent results at the back end of last season, and I think he's just a big talent and should kick on again this campaign. And 100-1 JJ Spawn, I thought, was a decent price, so I'll play him a point each way. Mike, who came closest for you then?
Just a couple of players to mention, Dave. I've always liked Chris Kirk, and I like him particularly in events where you have to score low. He had a dreadful season last year, but was 8th in this event, so I'll be very interested to see how he goes at a three-figure price. Another player who played well only a few weeks ago was Ollie Schneiderjans.
Yeah.
That was a low-scoring event in the Wyndham. 50-1, given he hasn't played that well since, is probably a little bit short, though.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. He was.
He impressed me in that. Yeah,
yeah, I think he's 66.
Wasn't he 66 this morning?
Yeah, he was. He's just been cut. Is that right? So we were standing
right,
at 66.
Dave? Yeah, I just noticed he was 50 there. Yeah. Yes, he has. Yes, you're right.
I thought Kevin Na was a decent enough price at 28-1. Actually, of the leading contenders,
plays very well here, doesn't he? He might not win, but he won't be far off the places, will he?
Nah, those at the top of the betting. I mean, he's in solid form as well, Kevin Na.
Mm.
So I thought 28-1 from an each way perspective was fine.
Yeah.
And Keegan Bradley, another one that I quite liked at 33s, but it's just whether or not the putter's going to be hot enough.
Yeah, putting's got to be important this week.
Yeah, for
it?
Him to
yeah,
contend.
Yeah.
Any others you want to mention before we wrap up, Dave?
Yeah, I think Jamie Lovemark could go well. Played well last year's Californian guy. Looked at him. Peter Uihlein might be interesting. You know, we've obviously seen lots of him on the European tour, and now he's over there. Could he go well? Chesson Hadley, I think, should have a good week as well. Was a bit of a star, wasn't he, in the web.com finals? Mm. There's a few of the web.com players, people like Keith Mitchell, could go well. Who's the other one I was thinking? Denny McCarthy. So there's a few of those. If you look at the events last year, it is a really good opportunity for those who played in the web.com to kind of strike while the other players are maybe not quite giving it their full attention. So it'd be interesting to see how those go this week and the next few weeks.
Let's wrap then with the picks for this week, and we'll start with the Alfred Dunhill Lynx. Mike?
I'll have a point each way on Richard Stearney at 50s.
And Dave?
A point each way, Richie Ramsey at 40s.
And I'm going to point each way, JB Holmes at 50s. And Dave, your two bets in the safe way.
Yeah, I'll go a point and a half each way on Zach Johnson at 25s, and then half a point each way on Mackenzie Hughes at 80.
I'm going to go a point each way on both mine, Ches Reavie at 40-1 and JJ Spawn at 100-1. Player you don't want to win, Mike?
Chris Wood.
I'd go with Olly Snyder-Jans, I think.
Yeah, you know, I nearly said him. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll go with him as well, yeah.
Dave?
Probably Shane Lowry, the price has put me off.
And Shane Lowry as well.
I want to see Shane Lowry.
The more people you say, the more I'm glad.
None of us want to see Shane Lowry.
I don't
want to
see him when I'm not on it.
Yeah. If you want to follow us all on Twitter, please do, by the way, at M Grenham, at Dave Tyndall Golf, and at D Kellner. Make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website and on the app. Go to sports.williamhill.com. And you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill or catch us on iTunes as well. Until next week, good luck with your golf bets and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.